These are some informative, instructional, inspirational passages found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Matter of fact, they had an opportunity to build the house of God. And we have an opportunity here at Bible Baptist Church to do something for God. We're not just building the house of God. We're building the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I see some inspiration found in both of these chapters that it just thinking about this passage and thinking about the theme, finish strong. And our theme verse is found in verse 20 of 1 Chronicles 28. It says this, "And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Oh, what I love that. It says, be strong and do it. And be strong and do it. So we took some words there on finishing strong. David was given a charge by God to finish the temple. They needed a place to worship. The ark of God needed a place to rest. All it had ever known was the tents. And all it had ever known was going through the wilderness. And finally, God said, I want you to make it a house of God. Make it a temple. And David, I want you to be the one that will to rise up and build. But your son Solomon will be the one that will finish it. And so I was just thinking about the theme and thinking about how we would go along with just kind of casting the theme out this morning. And a question kind of arose in my mind and I jotted it down. Is it a challenging obstacle or confronted with an opportunity? Here we have an opportunity to see the house of God built in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29. We see a challenging obstacle. There's some obstacles along the way. If you read the book of 1 Chronicles and even the book of 2 Chronicles, there was always enemies, always wars, different things going on. But yet it did not slow up the theme and the message, and that was build the house of the Lord. I want to preach to you just a little bit on this. Giving what one desires to give. Giving what one desires to give. Now, maybe the reason we've had a little problem with our sound system this morning, by the way, it's a new sound system. And so maybe it's the user error on that end. And I'm pretty sure that's what it is. If that's the case, though, maybe it's just the fact that God wants us to hear the message, but the devil doesn't. And so we got to remember that we have an enemy. But I do want to preach to you, and I want you to maybe X out everything that's on your mind right now and kind of just ask God, as I pray, to open up the scriptures to you, and we'll pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given us. Lord, I pray that you will help us as a church. Lord, you know these things do bother my mind. They bother me majorly. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to get through and navigate as I'd prepared to preach the word. And I pray that you'll help our people not just be hearers of the word, but doers. And Lord, I pray that you will guide each listener today to do what you have dealt with them to do about casting this vision. And Lord, we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading some stats this past week about just other religions and what they do when it comes to giving. Now, I'm not just preaching on giving money today. Somebody would sit in here and say, well, the preacher's preaching on giving, which we dedicate February to, about giving our tithes and offerings and missions and things. That's not really the thrust of this message. I want you to get something way deeper than just your pocketbook. I want you to get the heart of it. And let me just say, if God gets your heart, He gets your pocketbook. If God gets your heart, He gets your talents. If God gets your heart, He gets your time. You understand, it's not just about treasure. It's about talent. It's about time. And God gives these things to us. And what we do with them is up to us. And so I was reading this challenging, really kind of in-your-face statistics that I thought was kind of sad on our part. According to the National International Religion Report, the average Mormon gives over 7% of his income to the Church of Mormon. That's more than any Orthodox Christian denomination. What's more important about this statistic is the wealthiest of 20% American Christians give a smaller portion of their income to the church than the poorest 20%. Now, that's not everybody, but that is just an overall view of where we are as a church, as the Church of Jesus Christ. So let me read that again. The wealthiest 20% of American Christians give a smaller portion of their income to the church than the poorest 20%. Those in the high income brackets give an average of 1.6% of their income annually. 1.6. So that's 98.4% of their income they kept. Those in the low bracket, those that would not make that much money, those that we would consider low income, actually give 3.4% of their annual income. Now, I agree with Dr. J.H. Jowett, who said this, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. It has to cost something. If it does not cost, then it does not amount to anything. I was reading a story, and I think I shared this with the church a few months ago, but I'm going to read it to you again because it goes perfectly with what I was going to preach to you this morning. There was a man by the name of Dr. Roy Lauren who tells of a Christian businessman that he knew that traveled to Korea on business. He said this, in a field by the side of the road when he arrived in South Korea, was a young man pulling a plow while an old man held the handles or the reins. The businessman was amused and he took a snapshot with his phone of the scene of this man pulling another man on a plow. He said, I'm curious about that. I suppose these are very poor people, he said to his missionary friend who picked him up at the airport. He said, yes, they are quite poor. Those two men happened to be Christians. And when their church was built, they were eager to give something toward the work of the Lord. But they had no money. So they decided to sell their one and only ox and give the proceeds to the church. This spring, they are pulling the plow themselves. The businessman was silent for a moment as he gazed out the window. Then he said, that must have been a real sacrifice. The missionary looked at him and said, they did not call it a sacrifice. They rather thought it was fortunate that they had an ox to sell. Needless to say, the businessman was silent for most of the ride. When he reached, however, back to the U.S., he took the picture to his pastor and he told the pastor what he had witnessed. He then added, Pastor, I want to double my giving to the church in tithes and offerings and missions. And do some plow work myself. Up until now, I've never given God anything that involved a real sacrifice. I read that story months and months ago, and then I put it in this message, and I just started thinking, have I ever truly gave to the work of God? Where it has become a sacrifice, I mean a sacrificial gift. And so here in God's Word, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we have a pattern. We find a principle that led to a commitment in giving. Let's begin in verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles 29. The Bible says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet younger and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things to be of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors. And all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold and of the gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to preach. Now, Lord, as we bathe this message in prayer And if we put much time into it, Lord, I pray that it will be delivered the way that you want it delivered. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice the first thing we come to after these four verses in 1 Chronicles 29. We see the revelation of David's motive. David here is about to give an offering and receive an offering. You see what kind of offering it is. It's pretty incredible of an offering. Gold and silver and iron and stones, and how wonderful of an offering. And it was all going to the Lord's house. David was giving an offering, but David was also collecting an offering. I want you to notice why. Why would he be giving an offering and collecting an offering? Well, here's the first reason I believe. I believe it was a God-caused vision. It was a God-caused vision. See, God had initiated the need of the temple to be built. God is the one that brought it up. God's the one who said, hey, we need a temple to be built. I want a temple for the Ark of the Covenant. I want a temple where you can sacrifice. And so God initiates it. If you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 19, you'll see that God initiated this temple to be built. Look at it in verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So God literally set upon David the pattern in which the temple was supposed to be built. We're going to build an auditorium, and we're raising money for that to pay the debt off and build this building for the Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. But, you know, we've got to draw some plans up. And when anybody builds anything, there has to be an architect involved. Well, David had no architect. He just had God. Amen. God was the one that drew the plan up. Now, I would love to go to the city of Simpsonville and to the county of Greenville and walk in there and say, hey, guys, they'd say, well, where's your plans and who's doing this and who's the drafter and who's the architect? And I say, God. Now, that might sound real spiritual, but it wouldn't fly. Amen. They would probably say, you got to do a little better than that. And but to us, we want God to put it on our hearts, just like he did David. And so God caused it. First Chronicles 28. Look at that. First Chronicles 28 and verse 10. The Bible says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. So does it sound like David was just sitting one day down by the creek and he thought, I'm kind of bored right now, so I guess I'm just going to build a temple. No, that wasn't what David did. David actually was given this by God. God had caused the need and had given David the plan for carrying it out. By the way, those are the best plans. When God gives you the plan, what you hear at Bible Baptist Church, when we give you these goals and cast our vision out to you, you're not hearing what we just thought up. Hopefully, you're hearing what God has laid upon the hearts of both men and women to see this church go forward. So we see God-caused vision. Then we see a God-centered vision. Now, I want you to go back. Look at 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. The Bible says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. Hey, do you see that little phrase there at the end? For the Lord. Hey, this was not for man. Hey, notice that other little phrase there. The work is great. Do you know why some people in some churches never give their resources willingly or joyfully? I'll tell you why. They don't believe the work is great. Think their job is great. They think that their house is great. They think that their career is great. But when it comes to the things of God, most people, I'm not saying all, and I would imagine we have an overwhelmingly majority here at our church, but a lot of people, the reason they will not give is because they do not believe the work is great. May I remind you this morning that the work here is a great work. It's a great work. It's worth investing in. It's worth you praying about. It's worth you investing in. It's worth you being faithful. Hey, listen, the things that goes on. Sometimes if you're just the average attender, and I thank God for those that average attendance, and I thank God for those of you that maybe just come every so often. I thank God for you that come faithfully. But can I tell you, if you just come every so often, you have no idea what goes on at this church through the week. Man, God does so much here, Monday through Friday and Saturday. Oh, it's off the charts. And Sunday, of course, you know what goes on here. And can I tell you, there's so much that goes on. The work is great. And the reason the work is great is because God is great. God is great. And so here we see it's a God-centered vision. It's a God-caused vision. Hey, but the third thing I see, it's a God-challenged vision. Because this opportunity before us is an invitation from God for us to discover how wonderful God can provide. Yes. And boy, God has met the needs of this church. I'm not going to go into detail, but there has been so many needs that God has been right on time with. Some, when I thought our back was against the wall, I thought there was absolutely no way that God was going to bring us out of this. I was stressed to the max and thought, how is this? I'll just give you one instance. We've had several air conditioners in the past summer. Usually in the summer, they're going to blow up as hot as it is around here. And so we had a couple air conditions recently go out. And this one over here that controls the back half of this area, it went out. I mean, completely out. We tried to put Band-Aids on it for years and it finally went out. And one air conditioned guy came. He said it's going to cost $12,000-$13,000 for that one unit. Then another guy came. He said, I'll cut you a deal. And he said it's going to be around $10,000 or something. So we went with obviously the lower, and we just felt that he knew what he was talking about, and he did. He did a great job. But $10,000, he said, I'll need it by Wednesday because the air conditioning's coming in from Atlanta. I remember him telling me, he said, I'll need the funds pretty soon. Man, at the time, we're still going through the church stuff over here. Hadn't finished paying all that out. They were still putting a roof on it, $12,000, the one we didn't actually think we needed. It was a mess. And I was like, God, we need some money. Here I am trying to pay the debt off, and I've got an air conditioning going out. I got a roof leaking over there. Got a mess going on. And I said, God, we need about $20,000. And I said, but this, we've got enough for the other. But I said, this unexpected expense came up, and I hate to go before the church. Man, they've given so much. So I was sitting in the office one day. I believe Lee was on the other side, and it was this past summer. My wife was in her office. It was a busy day on, I think, a Thursday. Brother Ralph Bryan had just passed away. I mean, literally a couple weeks before. I'm sitting in the office, and a lady, she came around the corner, and she just kind of popped her head in the office. She said, Preacher Cox. And I'd never seen her before in my life until that moment. And she said, I've got something for you. And so she left and she went outside and went into her car out in the parking lot. So I kind of followed her. I didn't know what it was. Could have been a bomb. Could have been a snake. I didn't know. I was like, okay, there's probably a lot of people's got something for me, you know. And so I walked outside and I greeted her there. And she said, I want to give you something. She handed me a little folded up little check. She said, Brother Ralph would want his church that he loved. He'd want y'all to have this. And I said, well, ma'am, I didn't even look at it. I just stuck it in my pocket. I said, ma'am, I appreciate it. We sure loved Ralph, and he was such a blessing to our church. And just seeing him out in the hallway drinking coffee and tears running down his face talking about Jesus. And we shared a moment, and then I left. I walked inside my office, took it out of my pocket, threw it on the desk. Didn't even bother. I was just thinking. I was almost sulking in a way that we had to pay for another air conditioner. Happened to look at the check on there, and it was exactly what we needed to pay for the air conditioner. It was almost $10,000. Man, I went to my wife and I said, look at that. She said, where'd that come from? I said, Brother Ralph. I said, he's in heaven, but he's still giving. And then I told Brother Lee, and he said, man, look at that. I said, I'm telling you right now, people don't understand the tears and the prayers and the worry, and I shouldn't have worried, but, you know, just stressing about this. And God took care of every need. Hey, he challenges us that way. What's your need today? You know, the church has needs, but so do you. Your family has needs. My family has needs. The church has needs. So, listen. I probably would suspect that if you are stressing over your family's needs, you're probably stressing over everything else. Amen? We're encouraged to live by faith. God is challenging David. God is challenging Solomon. And he's saying, this is an opportunity. It's an invitation from God to search your hearts and see if this is something. Be strong. Why did God tell David and Solomon, be strong and do it? Because he knew there'd be some times where he would need to be strong. The second thing I come to is found in verse number 5. Look at it. The 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 5. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and the manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and captains of thousands and of hundreds and with rulers of the king's work offered, notice this, they offered willingly. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and of 100,000 talents of iron. The second thing I see here is an invitation to God's people. He said, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? There, it's an invitation. Who's willing to step up? I can't help but think about those Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I believe it is, in verse number 5, that not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. These Macedonian believers, not very wealthy, but guess what? They didn't give just their money, they gave themselves. I find that interesting because their first priority of the Macedonian believers was to present themselves as a sacrifice to God. Generous giving, remember this, generous giving follows personal dedication and surrender.
Amen.
It always does. So notice, go back to verse 3 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Notice this little phrase there. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good and of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. I think that the Bible says in verse 6, there's a little phrase there in verse 6 that it talks about they offered willingly. They offered willingly. These people were willingly giving of themselves. David had actually set his affection on the house of my God. Hey, let me just say this. David set the example and others got in line. So there was an invitation. An invitation. This is the key. Here's the key to an all free will giving. Giving what one desires to give. This is a voluntary giving from the heart and to the Lord and His work. This is a biblical giving. Giving to God whatever one is willing to give based on devotion to Him. So it's an invitation. Hey, church, let me just say that if you're sitting in here today, whether you're a member or a non-member, it doesn't matter. Invest in something that matters eternally.
Amen.
Invest in something.
Amen.
Give. Dedicate. The third thing I want you to notice is found in verse 9. Now stay with me. Verse 9, it says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. There it is again. Because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now notice the next verse. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now notice verse 11. Thine own, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Hey, this verse is a testimony of God at work in the individual's heart. So God started working in their heart. People rejoiced. They willingly offered. And then the loyal heart, they willingly offered. They just kept saying, whatever it is, David, whatever it is, Solomon, whatever it is, Lord, we will offer willingly. Can you imagine what a church could do if people came to church and offered willingly? We're going to stop using the word volunteer around here. There's no volunteers. No volunteers. What you do for God is not volunteer, it's service.
That's right.
I don't even like the word volunteer. Because it sounds like you just do it if you got time. Hey, yeah, I'll just go down there. They're not paying me, so I'll volunteer. See, here's the deal. God's paying you. Oh, yeah. Rich rewards. Much more than the church could ever offer. Much more than I could ever offer. Oh, no. So let's get the mindset of, oh, yeah, volunteer. I used to sing a little song, maybe some of y'all in camps and school. A volunteer for Jesus. Y'all ever heard that? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier. And I get it. It's great. We used to sing it in Awanas and and it still sticks in my mind. But that mindset has ruined some. Because here's the deal. I volunteer this week, but I'm not going to volunteer next week. I volunteer this week, but you know, I understand that it is what we call volunteer. I understand the true definition of volunteer, but when it comes to the things of God, look at me. When it comes to the things of God, do we truly volunteer or do we serve? Because let me tell you, service goes a lot longer than volunteering. I mean, it's your duty. And that's my service. I get to do that for Jesus. I get to do that for the Lord. I get to do that for my church. So that's the thing we see. This is the key. It is willingly, offered willingly to do that which God wanted in building this temple. So here's the third thing. There's the motivation of their giving. There's the testimony here. David blessed the Lord. He had worked for the people. Here's the fourth thing. It's found in verse number 11 and 12. Verse 12, look at it. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. What a great verse. Look at verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as we are all fathers, our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Here's, I think, the other thing that we see is the exaltation of their God. David actually responds to the phenomenal offering of expressing. Listen, they brought in an offering that they could not believe what it. People just willingly gave. And David was just expressing this great offering of wealth with praise. And he acknowledges that all things belong to and come from God. And we sung the song this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I love that little part. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's exactly what David was saying. Hey, you've been faithful, God. All that we've needed, you have supplied. Great is thy faithfulness. I love. Look at verse 14 again, the latter part of verse 14. Here's the explanation of their gifts. Notice. So that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, for all things come of thee, and of thine own we given thee. I thought that was interesting, that little phrase there found in 1 Chronicles 29 in the latter part of verse 14. For all things come from you. This is what David's saying. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. So, here's what happens, church. Look at it. Here's what they experienced. God had giving to them, and what they did, instead of hoarding it up and putting it over here, and they just turned around and gave it back. So I thought to myself, everything I have to give, He gave me. Can I repeat that? Because some of you look at me like I'm speaking French. Let me just do that one more time. Everything I have to give, He gave to me, all the church said.
Amen.
Everything. Everything He gave to me, or everything that I have, He gave to me. What do you mean, preacher? The time that we have. Time that we have. Well, preacher, I just don't have time to read my Bible. You have time. Because He gave it. I don't have time to pray. You've got time because He gave it. Everybody's got the same amount of time in this room today. 24 hours is all we got. God set that from the very beginning of the world, 24 hours. Sun comes up, it goes down, there's time to sleep, we know time to rest. God has given us that. So what are you doing with the time that He gave you? Well, I can only do so much. I realize there's a bunch of you in here that work a lot. But you're going to have to find time that God gave you. The second thing that God has given us, He's given us talents. You know, it's a crying shame. Look at me, church. It's a crying shame that some of you can sing and have gifts, and it's almost like we've got to drag you up here to do something with it. And Jacob said, amen. I heard that amen over there first. Hey, that's right. Well, did you know so-and-so can sing? Did you know so-and-so has this talent? You know they can play the piano. Did you know they can play the guitar? Do you know they can do this? Hey, and here it is. You're a member of the church. You've been coming here for years. And we just now find out that God had given you a talent and you're not using it. He gave it to you for you to keep. Listen, He gave it to you for you to keep. For you to just bottle up to sing in the shower? That's what He did, the shower. He gave it to you so you can drive in the car to work and just bless your seats and bless the steering wheel and bless the stereo. And then you get out and you're just like, yeah, I don't really sing that much. No, you do. But you just never bless nobody with it. God has... Now, there's some of you can't carry a tune in a bucket. And you bless us by not singing. No, I'm joking. That's terrible. Lee, I'm talking... No. No, I'm serious. You should make a joyful noise. So it's all including. That's it. I'm all you got up here. So, you know, it goes on up from there. Seriously, we have talents that God has given us, but yet we don't use them. Hey, the time that God has given us, the talents that God has given us, the treasure that God has given us. So God has given us treasure. God allows us to go to work. Some of you that are well-bodied and able to get up in the morning and go to work and make treasure, make treasure to pay your bills, treasure to do something with. Some of you are not able to work. Maybe you've worked and retired. I'm not sure. But God has still enabled you and given you some things. So here's the deal. What have you given back to God? Well, I just don't. We barely scrapping by. I understand that. But hold on a second. Is the reason that some of you are barely scrapping by is because you are keeping it for yourself? You're holding it back. Well, I just can't. I just don't know about all that. I'm telling you, prove it. He said, prove me now. Prove me now. God wants you to prove Him. Well, I just don't know, man. We're just barely getting by. I don't know how I could. I remember one time a lady stopped. I had been a pastor here maybe a month. And a woman, I don't even remember her name. She only came a couple services. But she came and she walked in my office. And she was, I think she was irritated. I thought at the time she did that as the kindest scolding I've ever gotten in my life, I think. But she walked in and said, Pastor, I've enjoyed your preaching and blah, 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 you know, and that. And I said, oh, good. I said, well, I'm glad you make your... She said, but I'm going to tell you right now. That's what she just went right into. And I said, well, okay. And she said, I ain't going to tithe. And I don't even know if I'd even... Somebody might have said something to her, maybe one of the classes, like teaching on or something. Because I remember I wasn't... I didn't preach on that. But she said, I'm not tithing. And nobody around here is going to make me tithe because I can't afford to tithe. And I said, ma'am, with all due respect, I don't know your finances. I don't really know you, but I know this. You can't afford not to tithe. You can't do something. Figure it out. Just believe God. Well, but how in the world doesn't make sense? Nothing makes sense on paper. But I'm telling you, if God wanted us to figure it out on paper, then He would have said that in the paper of God's Word. But that ain't what He wants us. He wants us to live by faith. So God gives us time. God gives us talents. And God gives us treasure. Now remember this statement. Some of the most precious gifts to receive are gifts given to you that were given to the giver. Let me repeat that for those of you that are still remembering. Some of the most precious gifts to receive are gifts given to you that were given to the giver. Let me illustrate. Over Christmas, I was spending time with my parents. Christmas was that week was just not a very good week. Matter of fact, the whole month of December was not a very good month, to be real honest. I just needed a little break, so just to clear my mind for just a day or two. And my mom and dad had been begging us to go up to North Carolina, which is only a couple hours, 2.5 hours away at the most. And I hadn't seen my sister in a long time, so I wanted to see my sister and my nephews. And so I went up there and said it'd be a good couple days. And we did. We spent a good couple days with family and turned right around and came back home. My dad walked into the house. We were staying with him. They got a pretty good size home. We were staying in the upstairs. And so he came in one night and he said, "Steve, I want you to stop by tomorrow and go visit your buddy Roger. He wants to see you." I hadn't seen Roger since I resigned up there and come here. And he said, "Go by and see Roger." Roger was my neighbor. Roger lived right across the street from us in a development. And Roger was, he couldn't see out of one eye. And he's an older man and a good, good man. And Roger would come over sometimes and ride he loved to mow. He mowed when there wasn't nothing to mow. He'd just ride around, you'd see dust flying, and Roger would come over and he'd start mowing my grass. He would. And I'm like, "Honey, go stop him because he's going to kill our grass." And he would. He'd grind up rocks and mow the... And I'm just like, what is... He meant well, but I had to stop Roger on a few occasions because he was a blessing, but sometimes he was going beyond a blessing. He was starting to be dangerous there for a little bit. So I went by and seen Roger. Roger had been in the hospital all of Christmas, and he just got out. And he lived there, and there was the lady there, his lady friend. Her name was Colleen, and of course she was a sweet lady. She lived right across the way too. And so we both got to visit with them. And Roger said, "Preacher, before you leave," he said, "boy, it's good to see you." Man, he wept, and he didn't recognize me when I walked in. He said, "Man, last time I seen you, you didn't have that beard." And so anyway, I said, "Well, Roger, it's about time for us to leave." And he said, "Well, I want you to come in the back bedroom and I want to give you something." And I said, "Okay." So I walked back there, and I'm a lover of pocket knives. I just love pocket knives. I love Case XX, and he knew that. And so I got 3 or 4 for Christmas, you know, from different people. So Roger said, he took out this big leather bag, a roll bag, for keep your knives in real nice. He laid it out and rolled it across the bed. There's probably 200 or 300 knives in this thing. He said, "Now, preacher, I want you to pick out a couple knives in this. I'm talking about nice ones. Case XX. Still in the box." I was like, "Man, I said, "Well, Roger, I'm looking at them." He said, "Now, there's another bag over there, but that's my expensive knives. Them are the ones that's worth a bunch." I said, "Well, you're going to show me, ain't you?" So he rolled that out, and I said, "I want to see some of these knives." He did. He had some in there that were really, really nice. And I said, "Well, I want one then," you know, joking with him. I said, "You giving me this other stuff. I don't want the new stuff. I want the old stuff. That's where the money's at." And he said, "Come to think of it, I do have one for you over here." I said, "All right." He said, "This knife belonged to my dad." And he said, "I want you to have it because I'll probably be dead by this Christmas." He said, I wasn't supposed to make it this Christmas. And he said, "My sons ain't living for the Lord." He said, "I want my sons to have some of these because they've been in the family." He said, "But this one," he said, "my daddy loved God." And he said, "This old knife, it don't look like much, this old Case XX, the case is actually wore off of it. But it's when they made knives, if you understand. These old stainless steel things now, you can't sharpen them real good. Them old metal ones that turn black, them things get sharp as a razor. That's what this one is." I every time I look at it, I think about Roger. His dad gave him that knife before he went to heaven, and now Roger's given me this knife before he goes to heaven. Man, that knife means so much to me because of the love that was behind it. God actually, now here's exactly what God is using this, is here's, remember the statement, some of the most precious gifts to receive are gifts given to you that were given to the giver. It was special because Roger's dad gave it to him. But now it's special because Roger gave it to me. And it pleased him to give it to me. And it pleased me to receive it. Do you understand the concept of giving? That sometimes the things that God has given us, it's more blessed for us to just turn around and give it to somebody else. There was a preacher friend of mine that I preached for last night. He said, "Preacher, I was at this such and such church, a church planner." He said, "I'm walking down the hallway of the church," and he said, "the pastor steps out of the office." It's a big church there in Tennessee. And he said, "the pastor walks out of the office, has never laid eyes on me, does not know me from Adam, looks at me and says, 'You're a church planner here tonight?' And he said, 'Yes, sir.' And he takes a check out of his own checking account and gives it to him, $900. And he said, 'I want you to use this for the work of the ministry.' He said, 'Preacher, he didn't give that to me out of the church. He didn't write it and say, Secretary, write this man a check.' He didn't say that. He gave that out of his own account." He said, "I will never forget what that man did for me." That's a blessing. Well, what are we supposed to do with what God gives us? Hoard it up? Just put it away and say, "Well, we may need that someday, so we're just going to do something with it." No, we're supposed to turn around and be a blessing to someone else. That's true Christianity. So we see the examination of their hearts. Look at verse 16, if you would. Just a few more minutes. Notice what it says. "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered," there it is again, "all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." Notice verse 18. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee." I notice that this is all about the heart. Think about this for just a moment. When the heart is right, there's a verse over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, that speaks about, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I've heard people misquote that verse and they said, "For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." But that's not true. It's where your treasure is. Your time, your talent, your treasure, your heart will. So let me ask you this morning. Is your heart here? See, some of you, I go to Bible Baptist Church. That's where I attend. I go to Bible Baptist Church on Sundays. But then there's others of you that say, "I am Bible Baptist Church. That's my church. That's my church. I love that church." See, it's one thing for you to go and just say, "Yeah, I attend there. And that's good. And we love you. I hope you keep attending. But those of you that have put your heart here and said, "I'm going to be here no matter what. I'm going to be here no matter what." Can you just imagine in a few years, let's just say a few years, where God has this church and that new auditorium, looking back at the fellowship auditorium, the fellowship hall auditorium, where we had stupid sound systems. And all kinds of stuff, just crazy stuff that we had to put up with and drove me nuts, literally nuts, drove me absolutely bonkers for almost 4 years. You can just see that it's real. Like, I'm speaking to you, I'm testifying right now. Can you just imagine where we were? Over there used to set literally a little octagon playpen for the nursery right over here. We outgrew the nursery, so we had to put a cage match right there. Tap out. The workers were getting defeated everywhere. I mean, knocking the walls over, it was a mess. We used to have all kinds of meetings and fellowships and all kinds of stuff right here on that old red tile. And that's exactly where we are today. And we had all kinds of stuff on the other end and souls saved and people baptized and all kinds of stuff. Went through fires and went through the floods and went through everything. You say, preacher, what's God doing? He's placing some hearts here. I love it when people come and I love when people attend, but I love it when people says, preacher, I want my heart to be here. You care, you pray, you love, you put up with. The first little thing don't blow you out because you've been blown in. I like it when people get blown in and not blown out. Hey, when the temple of God was going up, this is exactly what they did. Hey, and look at the last verse of this, and I'm done. Jacob, you can jump on the piano. Look at this real quick. It says in verse 20 of that verse, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the King. So now that this examination of their hearts took place, there was a prostration of the people. They started to worship God. Listen, they started to worship God. They bowed before a holy God. Folks, this is not made of man. This is made of God. What God is doing here, God hath wrought. Man has not done this. I start thinking about individuals in our church that God has brought. That God has brought. And I just started thinking about it through my mind as I was preaching and as I was preparing this message. Just looking at certain people. And it blows my mind to think about the first service and then where we are. All the families, a lot of the first service wasn't even here. I'll never forget Brother Bo, you and Jessica coming that first Sunday. I remember your first Sunday. The first Sunday y'all came to Bible Baptist Church. Penny, I remember the first Sunday you came. First Sunday. Patty invited you. Never will forget it. I remember Lee, you and Heather was on a Wednesday night. Actually, the first... Well, you came to a revival, but y'all came on a Wednesday night. Many people that I look out, I remember the time that you were here the first time, and it means so much to me because it was my prayer. God, I want their heart. I don't want it for me. I want you to do something with it, because though we can't see the future, I know who holds the future. And I know the future is bright. I know the future is bright. Matt, I remember when you met Kayla. And Kayla, your first time visiting our church, now they're husband and wife. I remember that. Daniel, I remember the first time. Daniel Pretlove in the back. Frank Frank and Cheryl. I drew a blank there for a second. How can I forget Cheryl? My goodness. Frank and Cheryl, y'all came the first Sunday. We had an evangelist. Y'all came that first Sunday, I believe. Daniel, the first time you came, I thought you hated my guts. And he was like, man, I don't know if I like this guy. That was a long time ago, it seems. But I'll tell you this, Eric Lewis, I see Eric back here. Eric, I was checking the mail at the church. Eric, you remember? About a year and a half ago. Checking the mail at the church. Just went through the fire. Just went through the fire. Checking the mail at the church. And here comes a guy with a pickup truck. What time's y'all service tomorrow? I said, well, we got one at 8:30, one at 11. He said, all right. I might be there. A few weeks. Maybe. So me and my wife might be there. That's what he said. And they showed up the next day and hadn't left since. I tried to run them off. No, they, what a blessing. Man, I could go through and through and through and through and see the first Sundays, Chris and Angela, first Sundays. I know some that are not here today that I remember their first Sundays that are here. Josh, I remember y'all's first Sunday, the Wall family. Tony Gilliam, I can't forget that. I tried to a bunch. I remember Stephen and Tabitha's first Sunday here at the church. And I remember Rebecca and Dave, their first Sunday coming back. I remember that on a Wednesday night, I think, something like that, Sunday night, meeting them. Then others of you that that were here, a few of you that were here, and a few families that go back many, many times now, a lot of things. My prayer has been answered. My prayer has been answered, and God is continuing to answer those prayers. And here's what I hope. Here's the prayer of your pastor as this vision going forward. I hope that there's many more times together that we can say, look at what God has done. Look at the mess that God has put together and made a message. Look at the lives that He's put together. We could probably be so, I mean, He couldn't have grabbed a church and made it more different, but yet so unified. But look at what God has done. I probably shouldn't have mentioned names, because if you're new to our church in the last 3.5-4 years, I remember, because when families visit, even if they don't, maybe they go and find another church that suits them or whatever, that's fine. But I remember, because I'm begging, God, that could be another Sunday school teacher. God, that could be another future deacon. God, that could be another, who knows? God is building a work here at Bible Baptist Church. And listen, it's not for me. It's not even for you. It's for the Lord Jesus.